that he had to leave at 12:30, but he's not on. So we'll go ahead and hope for the best with 12. Okay, you ready for me? Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, April 8th, 2026. Call to order at 12:05. Could we have roll call, please?
Yes. Alice Sadangi. Andrew Christopher.
Here.
Blake Houghton. Carlos Lozano.
Here.
Courtney Marks.
Here.
Gary Miner.
Here.
Helen Erickson.
Here.
JJ Lamb.
Here.
Jessica Bassey.
Here.
Joel Ireland. Kathy Kubish.
Here.
Ken Scoville.
Present.
Mauro Trejo.
Here.
Rhonda Kendrick.
Here.
Terry Majewski.
Here.
Tim Haggard.
So we have 12, yes?
Yes, I have 12.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll go on then to item 2, which is land acknowledgement. Commissioner Lozano, can you help us with that, please?
Sure. Thanks, Terry. On behalf of the residents of the City of Tucson, the City of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands, the Tohono O'odham Nation, and the multi-millennial presence of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Thank you. Before we go on to item 3, I wanted to ask, I see Nathan Bacall. Nathan, could you let me know who you are and your affiliation?
Yeah, hi all. My name is Nathan Bacall. I am an executive aide with Supervisor Rex Scott, so I'm just here to take notes.
Thank you very much. That really is helpful to know. Perfect. Alrighty, so item 3 is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 3/11/26. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please? Anyone?
This is Courtney. I motion.
Okay, thank you, Courtney. Is there a second?
Helen will second.
Great. Is there any discussion on those minutes? If not, Tracy, could you call roll, please, for the vote?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Alice Sadangi. Andrew Christopher.
Aye.
Blake Houghton. Carlos Lozano.
Aye.
Courtney Marks.
Aye.
Gary Miner.
Aye.
Helen Erickson.
Aye.
JJ Lamb.
Aye.
Jessica Bassey.
Aye.
Joel Ireland. Kathy Kubish.
Aye.
Ken Scoville.
Yes.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Rhonda Kendrick?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Oh, Tim, when did you join?
About 5 minutes ago.
Okay, so we'll say 1205. Okay, joined. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, motion passes 13-0.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. Item four is chairperson summary of current events. I don't have anything that I can think of at the moment, but I can mention it later if I do. Item five is recently posted subcommittee LAR/minutes. Just to remind you again that posted minutes are at the link shown on your agenda, and they're also, you can look at the LARs that haven't yet been converted into minutes, also on at that website, I believe. Okay, item six is removal appointments to commission subcommittees, working groups, etc. I don't have any at this time. Item seven is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of Tucson staff. And 7A is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. And let's hear first from Desiree.
Thank you, Chair Majewski. Can you all hear me okay?
I can, thank you.
Okay, great. So first, I have some bittersweet news. Dan Bursek, the PTSD planning administrator, who I think many of you have probably worked with, or I know he's presented here and at some of the advisory board meetings. He will be leaving the City of Tucson at the towards the end of this month. He's accepted a new job offer. He's kind of going back into his landscape architecture background, and so very excited for him and that new opportunity, but we're also very sad to see him go, and I just wanted to thank him. I know he's not on this call, but just, you know, to let you all know the commission and thank him for his support, and he's been very supportive of preservation, and he will be missed.
Is he staying in Tucson?
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, I'll...
Yes, he's staying in Tucson. He'll be working with SWCA. So who knows? Maybe we'll see him at the Historic Landscape Subcommittee someday. But I think his work will be kind of throughout Arizona. Let's see. We had a very successful community event, an adobe making workshop and demonstration at Fort Lowell Hospital during the Fort Lowell Days on March 28th. And Johnny Knightenweiser from our office organized that in collaboration with our Parks and Recreation Department and volunteers from Coronado National Forest and Tumacockery. So I wanted to thank Johnny for his great work on that. It was a lot of fun, a lot of kids and families and neighborhood people that came out, and I got a chance to work on some adobe restoration.
Nice.
Yeah. And congrats to the Presidio Trust and the neighborhood Fort Lowell on the successful event. Let's see. In March, we also led a training for our Historic Zone Advisory Board members on design review, and that went really well. Some good news. We have a new National Register District in Tucson. The Villa del Rio Historic District was listed on the National Register just this month. It is a modernist townhome community constructed between 1973 and 1979, associated with the emergence of multifamily development in the Catalina foothills, and it represents the third and final multifamily housing project in Tucson that was designed by notable Mexican-American architect Benny Gonzalez and his lead designer Robert Frankenberger. So we're in the process of updating Map Tucson to include that new National Register District. We're bringing the code update back to the commission in May. So we presented on that a couple meetings ago. It's the deadline, or the timeline has kind of extended a little bit because of some other priorities that our code team had to focus on, but they will be bringing that back to the full commission with red lines. And we'll also be presenting to the advisory boards this month and into next month, the same presentation that we gave you all a couple months ago. And I did want to let you all know, we had a meeting at the Ward 3 office with neighborhood residents regarding the home that was demolished at 1177 East Lester. It had been in the news a while. So it was a contributing historic building to a National Register district. You all had discussed it. I think it came up in public comment earlier this year. And unfortunately, there were no protections against demolition for that building, and the property owner was not interested in designation, so that building was demolished. But there was a lot of concern about that, and so we had communications and did some kind of just general information sharing and education about National Register districts, NPZs, which are neighborhood preservation zones, and historic preservation zones, kind of talking about the differences between those and the implications for demolition protections. Yes, Ken. Oh, you're muted.
You're finished. Do you have other things to talk, Desiree? Or are you finished?
Done. I will share to, or Johnny has a couple things to share. Did you want to wait?
Yeah, I'll wait.
Okay.
I'll call on you when they're done, Ken. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, Johnny. Okay. Or Desiree, finish.
That was it for me.
Okay. Well, voters passed RTA next, and so I had been having some very preliminary conversations with some project managers about cultural resource compliance for, you know, upcoming RTA projects. This is very, very early in the project planning stage, and, you know, but I just want to let you know, like, that, you know, project managers are starting to think about RTA next. Carlos and JJ?
Yeah, go ahead, Ken. I'll go ahead and call on people. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ken. You go first, please.
Okay. And Jonathan, that was interesting, and I'm sure Carlos is going to bring up what I was thinking on that. Desiree, a question. Do other cities have something in between what we have as a landmark, but we constantly keep losing National Register, potentially National Register buildings? Do other cities have some other designation that maybe isn't quite as, dare I use the word, severe as a landmark, but would give some kind of level of preservation the National Register really does not give any? Is there other cities that are coming up with something in between?
That's a good question. Really, zoning is the way to protect, you know, to prevent demolition, that zoning overlay. So really, historic designation at the local level is the only real option for providing that protection, right? The National Register it just kind of gives that incentive, but yeah.
But I think there are a lot of people that would like some greater protection for their district or their historic district, that I wonder if there's some other mechanism besides the big zoning. I'm just wondering what other cities have done that maybe are more motivated to preservation than the city of Tucson is. So that's just a
I'm problem. Not aware of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Arizona makes it really, private property rights are so strong here that it puts the city at risk for, you know, lawsuits when we designate against the owner's will. So if the owner's not interested, it really makes it difficult. So that's why it's so important to do proactive preservation and designation when we do have property owners that are interested in designating.
Okay, well, that's something, and maybe it'd be more appropriate when I get to local situations, but you mentioned a grant or funding about resources, and I was always concerned about the magnetic observatory buildings out at Udall Park. So I can wait on that, or do you have any other current thoughts on that funding mechanism? I'm trying to remember from last month meeting, you said you had something that you, at least doing an evaluation, it wasn't in the actual preservation work, but evaluation.
We have, yes, we do have grant funding from the state of Arizona, the Heritage Fund grant we were awarded for a historic context statement for parks and recreation facilities in the city of Tucson. So I'm sure that will be covered in that context, which is, it's more of a historical documentation and kind of a first step in preservation planning.
Well, I would assume documentation means status of the building itself, structurally or whatever.
Yeah, there may be a certain element to that, but it's more so like the historic context significance kind of context in that way.
And when is that going to be actually available or in process?
We have not yet kicked it off. We're just barely now, you know, working on the programmatic, the grant agreement. And then we'll probably kick off the project in May. And, you know, that could take a year or longer to actually produce. We have to put our timeline together.
Okay. Well, maybe it'd be better for me to pursue some other avenue to get inside and look at the buildings. Or do you think from a time standpoint? Because the last time, several years ago, they were inspected. They weren't in really great shape, but they were passable. But I'm really concerned now that it may not be so passable. So,
but well, Ken, I don't think that the magnetic laboratory would be included under the Parks and Rec buildings, or would it, Desiree?
It's in the park.
Yeah, I think it is in the park. It's possible, okay. But I maybe we could, you know, continue to talk offline about that and see if there's some other, a faster look at it.
That'd be good. Okay, thank you. JJ?
Oh, Jonathan, I'd just like to bring to your attention that the Colossal Cave Road project that's part of RTA Next. I'll start out by saying it is a project that's needed. It does not have to be at that location. And the language in RTA Next says in the vicinity of. And so it would be great to reinforce from many angles, organizations, that the alternate route, which does exist, needs to really be identified and easement secured in the first phase, or as soon as possible, actually, because construction, building permits, industrial permits, all kind. Anyway, there's just, it's like a tsunami out here. And that the alternate route or routes will disappear long before. It'll disappear quickly, like probably within the next year or two. So I would say that it's urgent, and I'm happy to share more information about that offline.
This might be also a conversation for Pima County colleagues. I'm not quite sure about the precise jurisdiction, but yes.
Well, and because the boundaries are, it's possible that a little portion of the alternate route is in Tucson. I think it's important from a historic preservation standpoint because the project, if it's on Colossal Cave Road, will very likely cause a demolition of the old Bell Post Office and the Shrine of Santa Rita in the desert, the only two historic remnants left. So that's why I bring it up for you two.
Okay.
And because there are changing boundaries. And it's possible that some of the boundaries will change over the next few years that Tucson's boundaries will be a little more included in that, some of those decisions.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, JJ and Jonathan. Carlos.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny. I'm so glad that you're in contact with RTA because we have about a half a dozen projects that we're kind of keeping an eye on, but I'll just ask you about one because of your expertise in archaeology. You're probably talking to them about the Silver Bell widening, and I'm only wondering since it was approved, so it has to happen. But I'm thinking ahead that all of these widening projects usually bring in new development. So now I'm more concerned with the new development than I am with the widening itself. And do you think that it's unreasonable or impossible to have Silver Bell either designated a scenic corridor, which would have some protections, or alternatively have an overlay? Is that something that might be being discussed?
You know, honestly, I don't know. And that's something like that I could, ask some of my colleagues at DTM. And you know, I don't think that Lydia is on this call, but I think she's probably someone that if she doesn't know the answer would be able to like know who would.
Lydia's on.
I am here. Yeah, my computer did cut out until Jonathan said my name. So could you repeat the question for me?
Yeah, Lydia, I was just saying that now that RTA Next has passed, the Silver Bell widening project is going to happen, but I'm not so much concerned with the widening project now as I am about the development that it's going to bring with it in the future. Silver Bell could turn into a new frontage road for I-10, and so could there... Is anyone discussing designating it as a scenic corridor or having an overlay that would limit some of that development?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I think Silver Bell was on, and I'll just try to put it more about this later on, but you sent me that list of kind of the projects that we'd be interested in seeing more information on, and I think that's certainly something that we could add to that list and that I could talk with the project manager about.
Okay, great. Yeah, I wanted to just get the idea out there because I just feel bad that it really hadn't been discussed before, like 10 years ago. But it's never too late, you know, so. Thanks, Lydia.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Carlos. Yeah.
Great, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, folks.
Let's go on to item 7B, which is Pima County. Oh, were you done, Johnny? I'm not.
Can I just have one more quick thing?
Oh, go for it.
Yeah. So the city is making a lot of good progress on our programmatic agreement for HUD-funded projects between us and SHPO, and all of our SHPO comments have been addressed, and so we are going to be, you know, continuing consultation with our other parties and. We will be presenting at PRS as well about this programmatic agreement. And this intention is to kind of streamline HUD-funded projects in order to, you know, make them kind of more efficient when it comes to the, you know, Section 106 compliance.
And I'll just note that we already have a PA in existence. It's an update to that. So it's just been a few years. I think it's been about 5 years in the making. So worked a lot on it.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Well, we'll move on then to item 7B, which is Pima County staff report. And so commissioners, please let's wait until everyone finishes because it's too disjunct if we ask questions in the middle. Okay. I'd rather people can complete their report and then we ask questions. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, Courtney and Scott.
Hi, good afternoon. I just want to apologize in advance if I have technical difficulties. I'm noticing I'm going in and out here, and hopefully Scott can recover for me if that happens. So I'll quickly go through a couple of projects. The Regional Flood Control District is currently developing plans for a restoration project between Drexel and Valencia on the east bank of the Santa Cruz River, but that's west of Calle Santa Cruz. And so you may know that is also near ancestral Native American site AZBB 1315, also known as the Valencia site, which is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The project will include a multi-use path, a paved path that will tie into a multi-use path that was already built north of Drexel Road in the Irvington, most recently the Irvington to Drexel project. And the overall goals are to stabilize the bank of the Santa Cruz River, reduce future erosion, and protect adjacent properties and cultural resources. Right now, we are in the feasibility studies stage of this project, and we're working with an archaeological consultant to update site boundaries, do additional updates on surveys, and complete that. And we're also working with the city of Tucson. I'm working with Johnny to review these projects as they come through, the feasibility and later the larger restoration project, because a portion is on City of Tucson land and it's related to the Drexel City of Tucson bridge project that you may have heard of. So I recently received an application from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. It was an application for staff review for a new historic landmark designation. So this will be the fifth of Pima County's historic landmark designations. It's located on 4239 North Pontotoc Road in the Catalina foothills. And it's the Charles Cox House. It's a great example of mid-century modern residential architecture. And SHMPO recommends the property meets criterion C as it embodies the distinctive characteristics of type, period, or method of construction. In this case, the architecture of the modern movement in Tucson. I'm still reviewing this application, but I'm working with Desiree on having the project presented at the Plans Review Subcommittee in sometime in May.
Great.
I'm also working on a project with Pima Community College archaeology students to remap the Seneca site, which is the Butterfield Station and the Cienega Creek Natural Preserve, the county preserve. And one of the reasons is because previous studies have not been able to see the ground surface because of vegetation. Unfortunately, because the vegetation has disappeared in the last couple of years, we've had some more instances of vandalism in the area. So we've put up a couple of wildlife cameras. And the other day, we were able to install signage in very specific spots off of both on the Arizona Trail nearby and within the site. Hopefully that will help prevent against some looting or unwanted visitation to the site. But Pima Community College will start their surface mapping project within a couple weeks. And I'm also happy to report that we're in our final stages of hiring staff for the preservation analyst position. This staff person will be helping me expand our preservation program over the next couple of years. So I'm very excited about that. And at the end of the week, we have interviews scheduled for the new compliance manager position. And I see Commissioner Scoville has.
Okay, let's finish with your whole report, Courtney. And then remember, I'm going to call in. Are you done with your report? And is Scott reporting?
Thank you, Chair Majewski. I was just about to ask Scott if he had something to add on these projects.
Yeah, I can quickly talk about the Fort Lowell Historic Preservation Project that's been ongoing for several years now. It's a city project funded by a city bond money and a historic preservation grant from the state, from state parks. It's been ongoing at probably about 4 years now, including all the planning behind it. The actual construction is now complete, 99% complete at the commissary building, also known as the Quartermaster Depot. And then also at the Donaldson House on the east side of Craycroft Road, just north of the fort. So that work is essentially done. I'm personally working on some interpretive panels that will be installed at both of those buildings and in a third location. Hopefully those will get produced and installed over the next few months. So that project, it's just great to see that coming to a close. The other project is the Mission Garden nomination process. Getting the property listed on the nomination was a condition of the National Park Service Historic Preservation Fund grant for the garden that we received about 4 years ago also. the nomination came back from the National Register with some minor comments for revisions, and I made those revisions and resubmitted to State Historic Preservation Office, and hopefully that property will be listed on the National Register within the next month or so, next few weeks maybe. It will be listed under Criterion D as an archaeological site and then under Criterion A for its association with the long multicultural history on the west bank of the river there. That's all I have.
Good, thank you. Now, Ken, go ahead with your question.
Okay, well, now I've got a question for Scott also, or just a comment. Because I do tours all the time, I'd be happy to share any images or things or make a few suggestions for the interpretive signage if you'd like.
That's a great offer, actually. Yeah, I have good material for the commissary and some pretty good photos and things for the Donaldson House, but that third one, I may get in touch with you, Ken, about that one.
Okay, well, I have some images on the commissary you might find interesting, too. So.
Okay, great.
Okay. And, Courtney, do we have any update? I remember one time, I'm just a broken record, but, you know, until I croak, I'm going to keep asking about the Atkins property. Did we finally have a powwow meeting and get some kind of movement on this?
Oh, thank you for asking. Unfortunately, what I have heard is that the meeting was postponed, but it will be held sometime later this week, I believe.
Okay, so it's going to happen maybe this month.
Yes, as far as I know, yes. Okay. Thank you.
I'll hold on. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Scott or Courtney? Okay, if not, we'll move on to item 7C, City of South Tucson. Josue, I don't believe, is here. Carlos, do you have an update?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. So Josue sends his regrets, but we did meet, and couple of things. So last month, I believe I asked Ian about a grant that was applied to the county regarding the Arizona Children's Association parcels, and that's that would be the 1921 Henry Jostad buildings on those parcels that we would be interested in. But I don't. So that grant, for one reason or another, is not happening. But their city is doing some code enforcement to make sure that those buildings don't get burned down, like, because they've had like four historic buildings burned in the last year. So they're doing some code enforcement there. And then we hope something good will happen with those buildings sooner than later. And also, I had previously reported about a U of A CAPLA Masters in Urban Planning project in City of South Tucson. It's called something like Developing South Fourth as a Cultural Preservation Corridor. Well, they're almost done with that. They're going to be presenting that on, I believe, May 11th to City of South Tucson Mayor and Council. And it's more than just an inventory. It has real recommendations, and hopefully their Mayor and Council will follow those recommendations, and I'll send out a notice if that's going to be open to the public. I guess one other thing, there was the Pascua Yaqui tribe gave a $1 million gift to City of South Tucson fairly recently, and it's designated for safety, but that's a big term, and so that could go to their, you know, police and fire, but if it has any infrastructure projects, I'll make sure to get a hold of Historic Landscapes to make any potential recommendations on the aesthetics or, you know, Secretary of Interior standards. And that's, I think that's all I had from South Tucson.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Carlos? Okay, if not, let's go on to item 7D, Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, and we'll have Lydia tell us what's happening.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have my camera on. I might turn it off for bandwidth reasons, so I apologize for that.
So first, I do have an update for First Avenue from Grant to River Road. Like Jonathan was mentioning, the passing of RTA Next is kind of allowing this project to continue developing. So they just kicked off the 30% design stage efforts this week, and a phasing plan will also be established in the next few months. So we'll have some more info for you all on that. And on a related note, Carlos did send me a list of projects, including First Avenue, where the commission would potentially like to see beyond kind of the updates that I've been.
Oh, Lydia, we lost you.
For you, just to quickly go down the list, it's kind of the projects that I've been giving y'all updates on already. So we have 22nd Street from I-10 to Keno, Prince Road as well, which might be a new one actually, First Avenue, Tucson Norte Sur, our Tucson Rapid Transit project, Silverbell Road, like we were just currently discussing, and Grant Road, specifically any demolitions that might be happening for Grant. So one consideration to keep in mind is that I know, you know, some right-of-way acquisition maps and reporting is typically done not always early in design phases. So that it depends on where the projects are, what kind of reports are available. I will also say that if there are reports available and we're interested in getting project-specific project manager in to present some of these findings, and if there are more specific questions, that is also an option to the committee, and you can let me know, and we can get those project managers into one of these meetings. So I'll leave it there and open it up for questions.
Okay, any questions for Lydia? Carlos?
Yeah, I could ask, well, not so much a question, but as a comment. I think in previous meetings, Commissioner Scoville had talked about on the First Avenue project, our favorite area is around the Amphi Plaza at Fort Lowell at first, because it has that Navajo wash, which could be sort of beautified and utilized. Well, the sad thing is that they demolished the historic building and historic sign on the northeast corner. And I checked on that. It was privately owned, and the owner has been sort of a problem for years. They didn't really consider it to be historic. So that's kind of sad, but that was one of the things that we had concerns about. I think a lot of the other owners on First wouldn't do that, but that's just an example of one of the things. So Ken, that was your favorite building, that was right up against the Navajo Wash. So sad to see that go. That's all I had. Thank you. Thanks, Lydia.
Great. And thank you, Lydia. Anyone else? Okay. We appreciate you being on, Lydia. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. We'll move on to item 8 then, which is TPC. PHC subcommittee, other committee, council, commission status reports. 8A is the plans review subcommittee. Desiree, if you have anything you want to mention?
Sorry.
Desiree, are you? Oh, there you are.
Yes. Let's see. We've had a few reviews recently. Some of the larger projects are noteworthy projects. At 181 West Broadway, which is the former Hotel Arizona, it's going to be rehabbed as the Hyatt. That went through both Historic Landscape Subcommittee and PRS, recommended approval with some conditions. So that's moving forward. And I was just out there this morning looking at the glazing. There were some concerns raised about the glazing, and it's, you know, glazing is something that changes their new energy efficiency requirements, codes that are met. So, but we're trying to look and make sure that the glazing was in keeping as much as possible with what's there now. The building is not designated as historic, but it is next to the TCC, Tucson Community Center Historic Landscape. Let's see. I think we have, there's also a conversation about the Charles Clement Turnkey sculptures that was also went to Historic Landscape Subcommittee and PRS, more as discussion on its potential eligibility or ineligibility for the National Register. Those sculptures are being considered for possible either deaccession by the city or relocation by the city. So the Southern Arizona Arts Foundation is kind of leading that process, and they have a committee that will be reviewing, discussing that this week. So I'll keep you posted if we hear anything. We had reviewed the Milagro and Oracle signs, replica signs and awning a couple meetings back, and the consultation period has ended for that. So we've moved forward with approving that historic review. We have at our next meeting, we have a number of reviews, nothing too big to report on. We will do the PA, the programmatic agreement that we talked about earlier. We'll be looking at that at our next meeting later in the month. But that's all I have for now.
Okay, Ken?
Yes, Desiree, another issue that I attended all the meetings, it would be good to get an update on the Fox Theater and the new addition on Stone. And I haven't heard anything lately about the streetscape and where the position of the entrance is and all of that. And I think that the Fox Theater, with everything that's gone on to save it, unless they come up with a really low-key design, it's going to really take away from the streetscape of the Fox. And it's got real quiet about that again. It's a great Tucson tradition. When things get quiet, bad things happen. So it would be good to get an update.
Yes, and I can actually give a little bit of an update. So we did hear from the project team. They do want to get a courtesy review to PRS and sometime in the near future on more refined plans for the Stone Avenue facade. As you probably know, Mayor and Council did approve the demolition of that building and the replacement plan at that conceptual level. But the actual, you know, review will still need to take place as normal. So it'll still go through PRS, and it'll still need to get, you know, all the permits and everything as usual. So they do want to come back for a courtesy review to show some facade changes to that.
It would be good if you nudge them, but for quite a while they held more public meetings than anybody involved with historic preservation. They had more of a public meeting, and those seem to have dropped to the wayside. And I know a lot of us that we all got invited along the way, and we had like 50 people show up to those meetings. Now that's all vanished away. So it would be good to give them, you know, we ought to do another public meeting for people that are concerned about it.
I could let them know that you have that recommendation. But yeah, they will be coming to PRS most likely, probably, you know, late spring, early summer is my guess.
But I really think that they should have more of a public presentation for people that want to attend. Plans review, everybody's schedules gets going crazy and people miss things and they're through. And it's just too important with the Fox that people need to see what it's looking like.
Well, Ken, I would just point out to you that we've spent many very in-depth discussions on the Fox Theater, and they are not required to do public meetings, but they have chosen to do them on their own, so Desiree can convey that.
That it would be good, given the concerns people have for the Fox Theater in the community, that you have another public meeting about it.
Well, I think she said she would do that, so yeah. We'll see what they think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you for your concern, Ken. Okay. Anyone else? We'll move on. Okay. 8B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council, and that is Commissioner Haggard.
Hi, this is Tim. We did not meet in this past month, so I have nothing to report.
So you didn't meet in March. Okay. Thank you. So item 8C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Erickson.
Hi. We had a very long meeting on the 25th, and we looked at three cases and a couple of other things were brought up. So briefly about the Hotel Arizona, I think that what Desiree has summarized, that essentially we approved the plan for the road that is to come around to provide access from the front to the back to the property. The respect for the interface with the ECPO historic landscape was really well thought out, and we totally appreciate their work in this respect. One thing we did bring up to them is that Main Avenue or the Calle Real or the Butterfield Trail runs immediately west of that building, and they have a surface on that building, blank surface, that would be provide a wonderful opportunity to celebrate that location and in a way reintegrate the urban renewal character of the hotel and the previous history of Tucson. We looked at the question of the turnkey sculptures, and that required a deep dive into the question of integrity and significance. And we reviewed the integrity piece by piece and agreed that the loss of location, design, setting, feeling was definitely there, was definitely a problem. And yet they remain the work of one of Tucson's important artists, Charles Clement. And the goal that we see as important at this point is that the remaining sculptures should be somewhere where they will be cared for. So our recommendation of what was available right now was that they possibly should go to the Bondante House, where they could be open to the public but also preserved. We also looked at a part of a presentation for the El Pueblo complex in El Pueblo Park. We have to say that Jasmine Chan has been a champ bringing all of these park renovations to the subcommittee for evaluation. So we essentially reviewed half of this because of our limited time. And the half we reviewed was passed with enthusiasm, but there will be a second presentation that we'll look at next time. Mauro Trejo brought up the fact that we have a problem with Armory Park informational signage, and Kathy Kubisch has been investigating that. That is something we'll be discussing at our subsequent meeting. Also, the other thing that's coming up are potential options for the interpretation of the Butterfield Trail in Tucson and Pima County. And again, we didn't make it to that discussion on the 25th, just because we ran out of time. So, questions, anybody?
Hey, anyone want to speak? I will check if the next page has questions of names. No? Okay, well, thank you, Helen, for that comprehensive report. Let's move on then to item 8D, which is Transportation Subcommittee. Carlos Lozano.
Yeah, thanks, Terry. Just only one item this week, and it's regarding RTA Next. We're seeking one of the vacant seats on the Citizens Accountability for Regional Transportation, also known as CART. And since this is going to have a 20-year process, we were thinking, and also that since their committee and our commission all both have term limits, we were thinking that it might be actually better for them to create a seat an expertise seat for historic preservation so that we would always be guaranteed a seat on that. So basically we're going to have to see what happens when they open that application process open to the public. Maybe we can suggest that. And because I think that would be a really good thing to do. And it's another thing that we should have done 10 years ago, but we do the best we can. So that was my only item.
Okay. JJ, you have your hand up?
Yes. So that application process is open, and applications must be turned in by April 30th.
Okay, so you guys are sending in, you're dealing with that? You'll be in touch, Carlos and JJ?
I wasn't aware of it. I would have thought
I just found this out yesterday.
So I'm disappointed that they didn't reply to your email, Terry.
They did. Because they said that it would be open soon. It wasn't open when she responded to me, but she didn't tell me that it was ready.
That's what I mean. Yeah, so... Okay. Yeah, we'll discuss. Yeah, I'll get with JJ and we'll do the application. But again, we might want to instead of just using one of the seats based on jurisdiction. You know, it might be better to have an expertise. But we'll talk about it some more. Anyway.
Yeah, and that's a good idea, Carlos. Really, because that is a long term. That's the long view, which is better.
Yeah.
But maybe we need to get someone on and then do that. But let's coordinate on that, okay?
Okay, for sure.
Because we've been trying for a long time, and they finally responded to us in a positive way.
Right. So, sort of. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions for Carlos? Okay. Items 8E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development, and that's Commissioner McDonald. So there's no report as she was not able to attend today. Item 8F is Budget Subcommittee, and that's me. Committee members will be meeting soon, probably within the next 2 weeks, but I need to get some information from some other subcommittees. And I'll just mention now that, JJ, for outreach and training, we need to talk as soon as possible about like if we're going to renew our NAPC membership and so on, we need to get that all done ASAP and any other things like that. So that's all I have on budget. So item 8G is outreach and training, and that's Commissioner Lamb.
Okay. Okay, so the outreach and training subcommittee has been hard at work. We're asking that Commission members, staff, and board members put May 5th from noon to 1 on your calendars and try to make it a priority. We're trying to plan these during hopefully lunch hours to make it easier to attend. To attend this important training webinar, it'll focus on the topic of deconstruction and the circular economy. So our presenter this time is Emily Freeman. She's the policy advisor for the circular economy for the City of Boulder, Colorado Office of Climate Initiatives. Her presentation will focus on how Boulder developed their policies and programs and how this topic intersects in practice with historic preservation. So if you have specific questions, you could email those to me or to Chair Majewski, and, you know, we'll get those to Ms. Freeman ahead of time. Let's see. So we'll be sending out a notice here in the next couple of days to help all of you remember that this is, you know, to mark it on your calendars. So our first webinar focused on deconstruction and the circular economy program in San Antonio with Stephanie Phillips. So our first webinars have focused on this topic because of the interest expressed by commissioners that served on both the Plan Tucson and Pima Prosper's working groups last year. Both Plan Tucson and Pima Prosper's include aspirational statements related to deconstruction and the circular economy. This topic in policy and in practice intersects with historic preservation. This is the reason that this topic is being addressed. And these opportunities are These webinars are both opportunities to learn more from two cities and their staff who are leaders in developing successful programs, leaders nationwide, actually. So this is a great opportunity. And participating in training opportunities are encouraged for staff, board, and the public, and required for commissioners. So attending in person in real time, when we've got these incredible people there to interact with and ask questions, that's a real great opportunity, because these people are leading these efforts on a national level. And their programs are not that old. They're like between 4 and 10 years, you know, in getting established. So the Outreach and Training Subcommittee is currently looking into future trainings and topics. And so we really would appreciate hearing from you, commissioners, staff, board members, about topics that are of interest to you. Now, that first webinar is available on YouTube, and I want to thank Desiree for her work in helping us get that posted. We'll be sending the link out to everyone so that those who have missed that first webinar can view it. We are tracking attendance for the commissioners, so please send me or Chair Majewski a quick email after you've watched it, and that way we can track attendance. And then I just want to say that our NAPC membership is good through July. And, you know, if you haven't registered anything for anything in a while, we still have a few months. So please take advantage of that opportunity. There's so many great webinars. And just remember to, when it asks about your membership, check that you are an organizational member. And then remember that there are costs for just a few things if you're registering for one of those things. It's not going to take the cost off until the very last step. So don't panic and think, oh, I can't pay for that. Just be brave. Hit that final. make that final click, and you'll be registered, and there won't be any cost. So anyway, that's my report.
Yeah, JJ, I wanted, I think you had something about Mauro is working on realtor training. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Commissioner Trejo is working on developing training for realtors. And we're really excited about that. And he's also looking into how that can be offered so that they get, you know, their credits that they need to get every year. So that'll make that a really useful training on many levels. Yeah, and so I want to thank Commissioner Trejo for all his work on that.
Great. Thanks, Mauro. Okay, any questions for anyone? Perfect. Thanks again. Item 8H is Events Subcommittee. Last month I mentioned that several events are in the works, and we do have Rhonda Kendrick Moniz just joined last month. The event subcommittee will be meeting soon. There will be an August event at the Presidio, but it will be much reduced in scope from the extravaganza we had last year for Tucson's 250th. So, and then in October or November, the event subcommittee will also be supporting the burial of the new time capsule with and the last time capsule preparers recommended in that last time capsule that stuff be reburied in the new one that will be buried this year. So and I know Ken has expressed interest in or asked questions about whether things can be digitized, and I talked to the woman at Tucson Museum of Art who's in charge of this. We also have some other ideas about how this could happen so that many of the items can be digitized. And Ken, I'll let you know, we're not quite there yet, because we've got too much going on. But in conjunction with the time capsule reburial, we're also going to try to do our awards ceremony that we haven't done for a while. And,
the Tucson Museum of Art is very excited about that. It's an opportunity for us to get more people to attend, get visibility for preservation successes in the community. So I'll keep you posted on that. And then folks who are on the Preservation Award Subcommittee will have to get together in a couple months. But we don't need to get together immediately because it's not happening until October or November. So any questions on that? No? Yes? Okay. All right. I don't see any. All right. Item 8I is Preservation Awards. I just reported on that under 8H. Item 8J is TPCHC Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group. That's Commissioners Erickson and Lamb. And who will begin?
This is Helen. I would actually like to begin with the question for Desiree, because we are basically paused until the city gets back to us, and I was wondering if there was any update on that. I don't know if Desiree is still here.
Yes. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. Yes. So we've sent it to the city manager office. So the next step for us internally is to meet with our city departments, so fellow departments leadership. So we're probably going to do that sometime in May, realistically, just to get on everyone's calendars and make sure that we're ready to present to them the proposed changes to the administrative directive.
Okay, thank you. And JJ, because you're taking over the next stage in connection with Pima County.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be reaching out to Ian to coordinate that. He is out of town right now for a couple more days.
Mm-hmm. So there are surely things that you can be moving on with Pima County while the city is getting feedback mm-hmm. on the administrative directive, mm-hmm. yes?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'll be doing that with the end, yes.
Very good. Okay, thank you. Any mm-hmm. questions for JJ or Helen? Okay. Let's see. Item 9 is ASM permitting and policy updates. This is an Ian item from the county. Courtney or Scott, do you have anything you want to add, or is there no report?
I don't have a report on it. Do you, Scott?
I do not, no.
No updates.
Okay, thank you. Item 10 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the City of Tucson. Ken, do you have anything you would like to talk about?
Nothing except my old swan song, the Atkins property for right now, and the Magnetic Observatory, because they're both, I think both are part of the city. I'd have to check the boundaries between the city and county at Udall. But anyway, just the Atkins, nothing else.
Okay, and hopefully we'll have a report on that next month after whoever's meeting on it meets, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, great. Item 11 is Commissioner Summary of Current Events. Does anyone want to announce anything, contribute anything?
I will mention the reopening this month of the Sosa Carrillo House.
Oh, great.
I'll get a date and a time, call that out for minutes.
That'd be great if you could send that to me or Carla, both of us, so that it can be distributed to everyone. That would be great so that we know. Thank you. So that's Sosa Korea House reopening. Okay, and Ken, you had your hand up.
Yes, if anybody has some time that they just want to kill, I'm doing a talk for the Auto Museum on Sabino Canyon Road, and it's one of my favorite PowerPoint talks. It's Surviving Summers in Territorial Tucson Before AC or Anything. And it's one of my favorite ones, and believe it or not, we had an ice cream store in 1876 in Tucson, and George Hand made a comment about it, and I have a lot of George Hand quotes, who was a saloon keeper, kept a diary, but it's just one of my favorite presentations, and that'll be at the Auto Museum on Sabino Canyon Road will be at 2 o'clock this Friday.
Great. Thank you, Ken. Good luck with that.
Oh,
Interesting topic. Okay, anyone else? I just wanted to mention, if any of you do not know or haven't been following the Department of the Army program comment, and they just gleefully announced the other day that they are proud to present their modernization of the Section 106 process. And you might want to Google the Army program comment on Section 106 if you would like to be horrified. And this is probably coming with other services because they're interested in it. And soon to be following will be Section 106 threats and revisions, I'm sure. So it's for those of us that make a living in historic preservation, this is a worrisome thing. So we should keep our pulse on that.
Okay. We can add it to our...
I'll add on to that.
Okay, hold on. Who was that?
That was Ken, and then Morrill had a comment, too.
Okay, go ahead, Ken. That we're not discussing. This is just information.
No, well, so, I mean, it's just a continuation of the horrible things that are going on. And you just try and monitor them as best you can.
Well, that's true. But this is really serious. Yeah. I mean, that program comment.
Those of us who know the Constitution a little better are concerned, too. So.
Yeah, that's, well, many things, right? So, Morrill? Morrill?
Just wanted to mention, I was down at Fort Huachuca last week, and it seems that their museums have been given about a year extension. They were scheduled for closure, but they've been given about a year reprieve before they all close, the three of them.
That's terrible.
They got another year, I guess.
but they're, remember, they have a national landmark district. Their adobe buildings in the middle of the fort are protected because those still have to be dealt with if it's a national historic landmark. So,
those museums are amazing, and you've got another year to see them.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, anyone else? Okay, item 12 is call to the audience. I wanted to ask Tracy if any comments were received from the public by the posted deadline.
No, no comments were received.
Thank you very much. Okay, item 13 is thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone have a thought they would like to share with us on that? I just wanted to mention an interesting thing. We have a report that our company is finishing for the Corps of Engineers, but it's for an Air Force project. So it's really fascinating that one of the executive orders, you know, sort of forbids the use of certain terms like culture and things like that. So we had to change our report and use all this really awkward language because the Corps of Engineers didn't want to get sideways with that executive order. And so, but we just got clarification from the client that we don't need to change anything like Arizona State Museum site forms that talk about cultural affiliation and stuff like that. Maybe the point size would be too small for the people to see. But our client assured us that no one will be going over those things with a fine tooth comb. So, but it's just, it was really shocking and worrying about, those kinds of things. So that's my lack of no inclusivity report for item 13. So any other comments?
Yeah. Well, Tara, I was just going to add the National Park Service is having to purge all their interpretive plaques and everything, as far as what they say of inclusivity and culture and all those things, too.
Yeah, and I did a project at, just recently did some things. Our company's doing a app for your phone. It's a walking tour at St. Genevieve, Missouri, which is about an hour south of St. Louis, and it's got the most
extant vernacular French architecture anywhere in the world, because of fires that happened in, St. Louis and so on. But they just made a new historic park there about 5 years ago of some of these amazing post in the ground or post on sill houses that if you're an architectural historian type, you will know what those are. But so we're talking to the Park Service lady, and she said that it's really difficult to interpret some of these homes because the story is about where slaves made that were working the fields, because they had a huge field that went from this one bluff all the way down like a mile to the Mississippi River. And she goes, we're not sure how we're going to talk about it now. And she seemed, you know, she couldn't, it was sort of off the record, but I felt terrible for her and for, you know, the interpreters that work there and the historians that work very hard and these amazing bits of architecture that tell an incredible story. So another sad thing. So.
St. Genevieve is a wonderful place to visit. It's just spectacular.
Yeah, we were so excited to have. I worked there in the late 80s, and then I was thrilled to win this contract again to work there, and they were so welcoming to us. And it's going to be cool to do. We're doing a story map that's basically a walking tour. Interesting working with the public. They're very committed to preserving their homes.
Not to beat a dead horse too much, but the interpretive area for the first White House in Philadelphia has had to purge all their information about the slaves that Washington brought in and out. Because there was a restriction in Philadelphia as how long you could have slaves in the city. So you had to have them go out and then come back. George Washington did. And so they have to scratch all that interpretation now from the first White House where they did the archaeology. And they did a rebuilt sort of ghost walls to give you a little sense of the footprint of the house and everything. But so that's going on nationally.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. And item 14 is schedule and future agenda items for upcoming meetings. Our next meeting is May 13th. And so I need any suggested agenda items by May 1st. And as usual with staff, county and city and City of South Tucson and DTM, I will send an email asking you if you have special items other than your regular reports. So thank you for that. And if there's nothing else, we will go ahead and adjourn at 1:17. I thank everyone for being on, and I will dutifully chastise those who said they would be on but did not show up. So thanks. I appreciate your time, everyone. And could staff, our support staff, stay on?